Welcome to Good News Church. Some of y'all are new or kind of new, and my name's Drew, and Ray opened up our service. He and I are pastors here, and we have a lot of volunteer leaders here who we are so blessed by. In fact, with church plants, everybody's kind of a volunteer at some point or another, and that's kind of what makes it fun starting a church, is we all get to know each other, serving alongside of each other, and there are always opportunities to serve, as Ray mentioned earlier. But we're glad you're here, and we just finished last week, goodness, probably 3 months on the Sermon on the Mount, and it was great. It was fun going through that, and so now as we move into the fall, we're sort of moving in a direction of this topic of uncomfortable. You know, there's so much of faith and so much of living the Christian life that's just uncomfortable, And actually, the call of the gospel is into discomfort. And the only thing that's going to compel us to move into discomfort is love. It's going to be the thing that we have experienced. And even though it's a movement into discomfort, we're compelled to do it because we've experienced God's grace, we've experienced His love, and we want to be a part of what He's doing in helping other people to experience that too. But I will say, as we're talking this week about uncomfortable, and we wanted to have a slide that would be sort of a graphic to give us a visual for this message, and Laura and Whitney Rowland were working on this, and I thought, oh, maybe we'll bring it to you guys and see what you think. We had four different slides that we thought we would throw up there and see what you think. So there's the first two. I thought that was good, and then I think, and Laura did those, and then Whitney, getting a little feedback, let's see. Whitney did this one, and that's kind of the pathway that leads into the unknown. You know, that's really uncomfortable. That's really what we're talking about. And then Whitney and her girl said, you know, I'll tell you what's really uncomfortable is toes. And so they sent us this one here with somebody's toes, and they're kind of like deformed feet, so that's really super uncomfortable. So we'll let you guys vote which one is your favorite. If you like one, clap, give us a clap. If you like two, all right, two, three, four. we'll probably go with two or three. But Laura was laughing so hard this week when Whitney sent the one with the toes. I just thought, we'll share that with you guys. It is very uncomfortable, the toes thing. So this morning, we're launching out with this whole idea of uncomfortable, of being called out. And, you know, the thing that came to my mind was Genesis 12, and we opened up with a passage from Galatians 3 about Abraham being called out. And God called him into the unknown. He said, Abraham, I'm calling you to leave everything you know, to leave your family, to leave your friends, to leave, you know, your favorite grocery store, leave your favorite pasture, leave all that. And Abraham's like, okay, let's go. Where are we going? God said, I'm not telling you. And that's really uncomfortable. And you know, with this church, we certainly have experienced that. And a lot of you have experienced that. You're here. You left something that was comfortable. Either your home, Sunday mornings, you were just chilling out at home, watching SportsCenter or reading the paper or drinking coffee or whatever, but you're here. And everybody's first visit is uncomfortable because you kind of don't know anybody and it's a new thing. And or you were at another church and you felt like God was calling you to be a part of what He's doing here. And so there's a shift there. There's discomfort. So all of us can relate to that to some degree. I wanted to, this morning, take this transition point between messages and sort of use this as the launching out to share with you some of the stories of what God's doing behind the scenes that we don't have bandwidth to really share this on a week-to-week basis. But I get chills as I even say this because there is so much going on, I can't even hardly contain myself at how God continues to reveal Himself on the path that we're on and confirming us, yes, you are on the right path. You are on the right path. Now, in all of this, we don't know what the end result is going to be. And I'm going to talk about some of these things today. We don't know where it's going to go, but our approach is to be like this. You know, Lord, we are not trying to make anything happen. We just want to follow you. We want to follow hard after you and seek you. And our deep desire in this church is to help other people experience what we have experienced, His love and His grace, and just the experience of knowing that we have unconditional, eternal favor with God as His adopted kids. And we want people to know that. So I'm going to share some stories. I'm going to share numbers of stories. I might run out of time. I might have to skip some. I don't know how this is all going to go. And have mercy and grace on Craig and Dwight, who are running slides, because I threw up a bunch of pictures of stuff for visuals, and I may skip around. So they're going to try to follow me. I think we'll be fine. But just know, if the slide doesn't match the story, it's not their fault. It's mine. Okay? let's see. All right. So I think maybe I'll launch into this by reading our scripture text. And I'm kind of using this. I'm not going to exposit this scripture. That means explain what it means word by word. But I'm going to give it as sort of an image and a to set us in our direction. And then you're going to just hear a lot of stories this morning. And I hope you'll be inspired. And I hope you'll be affirmed at what God's doing. So Genesis 12, 1 through 4, this was in 2000 BC. So 4,000 years ago, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's houseland to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. God called him out. That's the beginning of the Jewish people. That's the beginning of God's pathway of salvation, as he went to one guy who was just in the middle of nowhere and said, "Follow me." And Abram might have been thinking, "Okay, this is going to be interesting." He would have never dreamed what God had in store for him. And we, many of us, may feel the same way when God calls us out. Have no clue what God's going to do in and through you when he calls us out. Hebrews 11 is sort of the bookend verse on this. This is the verse of faith, kind of the faith hall of fame is what this chapter is called. And I just want to highlight chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10. Faith, what is faith? Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I'm going to come back to that verse when we close. As Ray mentioned, the verse that we opened up in from Galatians plays into this, that through Abraham, God sent Jesus, and it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. I was praying this morning and just trying to, through the fog of this sinus thing that I've got, just trying to think of words that describe God and praising who he is. And I said, "God, you're holy. You know, you are a holy God, untouched by sin." But the unbelievable thing is that God left, he put aside that holiness and entered in. He didn't put aside his holiness, but he entered into the filth and entered into the dirt and entered into the mess through Jesus. And not only did he enter into it, but he became the most unholy thing that has ever walked on this earth. Jesus did. On the cross, Jesus was covered with our sin. And God punished him. He was condemned so that we could be set free. Jesus became unholy so that we could become holy. That's great good news. If we didn't say anything else, there's your message. That's good news. That should stir our hearts. So now I'm going to get in, just start telling stories. Where did this church come from? You know, how did it come about? Did we just sit down and say, hey, let's start a church? That's not what happened. So some of y'all will be familiar with some of these stories. A lot of you will may not be familiar with any of them. Take a drink of water here. So this church, you know, was started before the foundation of the world. God had it in mind before anything was ever created, just like he had us in mind. But I would say if I had to pinpoint where this church started, and as I tell stories, I want to offer a disclaimer. This is not at all about me or us. It's not about Laura, not about me. We're just sort of bystanders telling stories of what God has done through us. And Ray and I were talking earlier this morning to say, you know, we are the two most unlikely candidates to be leading something like this. But that's who God uses. So if you feel like you're unlikely or unworthy, watch out, because God will probably pick you. The big thing is just being willing to say, God, I don't know what I bring to the table. And the truth is, none of us bring anything. But God says, I'm gonna ignite the gifts and the skills and the passions that I've put in you. I'm going to ignite those things by my Spirit, and I'm going to use you to do amazing things to build up the kingdom. So in 2004, Laura and I were married in 2003. And in 2004, we bought a house in Sugar Hill in Lenox Park. And some of y'all live in that community. But when we moved in, I never wanted to start a church. It was the last thing that I wanted to do. I never wanted to be in ministry. I had bad ministry experiences growing up. My dad's a pastor. Good experiences growing up, but had some nightmare experiences where I said, I'm done. I was done with all of it. And the last thing I wanted to do was go into ministry. But God called me into ministry. That's another story. And I was willing to go. And we moved into Lenox Park. And I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart, and Laura agreed, that, you know, this is going to be our place of community. Our neighborhood had 240 homes, Sugar Hill. This is going to be our spot. I was on staff at Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, 30 minutes away, but just said, this is where we're going to camp out. And we want to meet as many people as we can and build friendships. But I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart, don't invite anybody to church for like the first year. Don't invite anyone to church. Don't initiate spiritual conversation. Just go try to meet people, build friendships, and start praying for their hearts, for our hearts, that God would just begin to stir stuff up in our community. And we did that. And it was not an easy thing to do because, you know, when the good news is in you, you want to give it to people. And when you see that there's opportunity, you want to just walk through that door. And there were plenty of times in that first year, year and a half, that I felt like this is an easy invite, this is an easy conversation, but we held back. And just held back and just continued to build friendships. And we wanted our neighbors to know that we truly love them. We don't have an agenda other than love. And the good news is included in that, but not an ulterior motive, you know, not to get people to come to our church or anything like that. We just wanted to build friendships. And after about a year and a half of doing that, it was like things just turned. And it was like fish just started jumping in the boat. Relationships took off. People started initiating spiritual conversation with us. People started inviting themselves to church with us. And God just started doing stuff. And so that was the early seeds. We had a neighborhood food drive in October that same year and met a bunch of neighbors. They dropped off their food. We started conversations in our home about, you know, what would you love to do in this neighborhood? And all kinds of ideas came up. And we just started, you know, I want to do a kids and pets 4th of July parade. I want to do a Halloweeny roast where we cook hot dogs and let the kids dress. So all these ideas are going to say, oh, let's do that, you know? And so stuff started happening. Out of that, a men's group started in 2005. And I found the actual initial invitation that I sent out to guys. And Dale McNichol was there and Alex Campbell were there. And there were about 15 guys that were there. And I said, you know, I want to start a group to help men in this neighborhood begin to get to know each other, to develop friendships. And I love that quote by C.S. Lewis. Is any pleasure on earth as great as a circle of Christian friends by a good fire? And that's what we did. We started meeting around a fire. I told guys, if you want to bring cigars and bring some craft beer and we'll talk about how the Bible and how the good news applies to everyday life, that's what we're going to do. And that's what we did. And we did that for about 15 years, and it sort of faded out as the person that owned the house next to the fire pit moved, and then this church transitioned, and so the fire pit kind of became Good News Church. But God started doing amazing stuff there. Another pinpoint thing in 2007 was we started getting involved with Sugar Hill Elementary School, and Grace was like 2 years old. So our kids were not school age, but we got involved with mentoring, and I saw the principal in the hallway one day, and I said, is there anything that we can do, you know, for the school to help you? And her eyes lit up, and she said, yes. And she walked me out the side door, and she said, you see that hedge? And it was a super long hedge at the back end of the parking lot. She said, the county never cuts that hedge. If you could get some volunteers out here to cut that hedge, that's what I would want. And so I actually rounded up some pastors in the community, and we went out there on a day when the pollen count was like 2 million and cut that hedge down, and it looked great, and she came out, and she was just blown away. And the next time I went into the school, she said, Drew, would you come back to my office? I was like, uh-oh, I'm being called back to the principal's office. And we sat down, and she said, I called you back because I wanted to ask if you would pray for me. She said, my boyfriend is very sick, and he is moving, he's dying, and we don't know what's going on. It was some virus that he had that they ended up being fine. But she said, I'm really scared, and I just wondered if you would pray. I was shocked. And I said, well, let's pray right now. So I prayed for her and put my arm on her shoulder and prayed, and when we were done praying, she just had tears flowing down her face. And that began a relationship that we shared spiritual things. I think she came to faith. And she lived in Alpharetta, and a pastor that was in Sugar Hill moved to a church that was within walking distance of her house. And so she started going to that church and became a member and got engaged. And so I think God used us. I don't think necessarily it was because of us, but I think God used us. But that was instrumental because we now had favor with her. And so when the new principal came in, she retired, she just put in a great word about us and said, you want these people to be involved. And then over the years, that has just trickled on and it's multiplied. And so now we've got great personal friendship relationships with all of the school principals in the Sugar Hill cluster, all three elementary schools, the middle school, the high school, the mayor, the city council members. I mean, just all of that has multiplied towards relationships and influence. And it's not, you know, that we're just trying to have the influence. They're relationships. And as a byproduct of the relationships, there's influence. All of these things were seeds being planted for this church that we had no idea were coming because we did not want to start a church. We were perfectly content doing our thing. 2014, I was at a workshop, and y'all have heard this story, and the question was asked, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? And because of my men's group in the fire pit, and when a new brewery would open up, we'd go visit the brewery and do a tour and go get some barbecue, and that environment was just so inviting. And so the thing within 30 seconds I wrote down, if I knew I couldn't fail, I think I'd start a brewery and launch a church out of it. And it was the craziest thing I could think of. And I really had no interest in doing that. But I also thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to do something with this at some point. So I wrote a vision paper at the time. And the dream was this thing that we called the Lodge. It'd be like a wilderness lodge. I don't know if I've got a picture or not up there. I can't remember what slides I gave Craig. But there we go. Craft brewing, coffee roasting, artisan gifts, a vibrant gathering place for the community. I went to downtown Sugar Hill, went to the city manager at Sugar Hill, presented this idea, and they loved it. They had just built City Hall, and they said, we would love to put this right next to City Hall. I mean, but I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't ready for that. But they said, you know, you might want to talk to a guy that we've been talking to who lives in Snellville. He's a backyard brewer, and he's looking at starting a brewery. And his name's Wayne Baxter. So Wayne Baxter and I got together for lunch, and that was 2014. I shared my crazy idea. He shared his dream to start a brewery. We left, and I didn't think I'd ever talk to Wayne again. But over the coming years, he just kept calling me and saying, hey, I'm looking at a warehouse in Savannah, Georgia. I'm looking at a warehouse in Greenville. I'm looking, you know, like, oh, great. The first time he called, I said, well, that's awesome. I said, well, let me pray for you. And Wayne said, okay. So I prayed, you know, and I would pray every time he'd call, and just a friendship began to develop. And I wanted him to be successful. So that's 2014, that came out of that. 2015, I met Ray. We were leading All Pro Dad at Sugar Hill Elementary, a monthly breakfast for kids that we started. And Laura, I met Rachel. Rachel was working at Sugar Hill Elementary in the office. And she came home one day and said, I met this new staff woman that is just unbelievable. She's great. She's got to be a believer. I said, well, I met this guy at All Pro Dad breakfast. He's amazing, you know. So we're just excited, you know, thought, man, I might be, you know, some good friends. Well, we go to the first football game. We didn't know that they were connected, but we see them together, you know, holding hands at the football. They're married, you know, so there's Ray and Rachel. So that's how we met. And, you know, from that point on, we would do the All-Pro Dad breakfast. And as we'd pack up and head out, Ray and I would end up standing under the covered walkway out front and just talking about ministry. And he would just share, you know, the Lord called us here to Atlanta for ministry. And we don't know what that looks like yet. We're still trying to figure it out. He was selling tile and, you know, I was doing my thing. Church and feeling perfectly content and called into what I was doing. But we would brainstorm about what would church look like. So that's how we met Ray. I told Laura in 2019, I said, you know, I've got two big plates that are spinning and they keep getting bigger. And their relationships and influence, they're both amazing. But I'm not going to be able to keep both of them going. And the plates, one of them is Perimeter Church, and one of them is Sugar Hill. And I said, the one thing I know is that Sugar Hill is not going to go away. And I said, but I don't know how Perimeter will go away because we love Perimeter. And I really felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. So I really lived with a lot of tension for probably 5 years. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I have all these ideas, but have no interest in starting a church. So what do I do with that? And so that was 2019. And in 2020, less than a year later, I have a sit-down meeting with my direct report at Perimeter, completely unexpected, but they said, just started the meeting off and said, what do you think about starting a church in Sugar Hill? And I instantly knew that's what we're supposed to do. I just knew it. I said, all right, let's do it. And I think that surprised them. Like, well, maybe you should go home and talk to Laura and pray about it first. I said, I will, but I know this is what we're supposed to do. And so, you know, prior to that, if I had a rate on a scale of 1 to 10, my confidence in doing something like this, it'd be probably a 2 or a 3. Because I had so much fear and insecurity as I looked at my weaknesses. I saw that stuff a whole lot more than any gifts, talents, or skills, or whatever that I had. Just fear and insecurity. And, but after that meeting, I went from like a 2 or a 3 confidence level to a 10 because I knew it was God. I knew, like Moses, we're talking about Abraham today, but Moses, when God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses was like, I can't do this. I can't talk. I got a speech problem. And Moses said, don't worry about it. I'll use you. And they'll know it's me because you don't have your act together. And so that's where the confidence came from with that. And after that meeting, that day or within the next 3 days, I went straight. I called Kyle Drake, who's been one of our huge worship leaders and been a longtime good friend, to have lunch. And he'd been telling me, you need to start a church. You need to start a church. I'm like, I'm not starting a church. I have no interest in starting a church. We go have lunch at El Portone. He goes, well, what's going on? I go, we're starting a church. He goes, no way, you know. And so... So he's on board. He was the first one, I think, on board. And from there, I drove here to Monkey Wrench. And I said, Wayne was here. And I said, Wayne, you remember that conversation we had, you know, whatever, 5 years ago, 6 years ago? I said, we are starting a church and we're going to need a place to meet. This is October 2020. COVID is like, you know, at its height, but we're going to need a place to meet. Your warehouse space would be great because we can space people around, you know, keep people apart. And I said, could we start a church and, you know, use your space until we figure out what we're... He said, absolutely. Yeah, that's great. And so so that began kind of the journey here with Monkey Wrench. And then I had another friend that I presented this idea to, an entrepreneur, most successful, innovative entrepreneur that I know. And I went to him and I presented this idea to him when it first came about eight years prior. And he loved it. But I wasn't ready and God wasn't ready. But I went back to him and I said, we're doing this. This is going to happen. I said, but I have no idea what I'm doing. None. I need help. And he said, well, here's what you need to do. Write down everything that you're going to need on a pad of paper, every single thing. Computers, staff, space, you know, pens, whatever, just everything you're going to need. Write it all down on paper. And I said, okay. And he said, and then give me the pad of paper and I'll take care of it. And I was blown away. And I told him later, I said, it would not be healthy if you just paid for our church. You know, that's not a good model. But I said, I think God used you to confirm in me, don't worry about that stuff. I'm going to take care of this. You're going to be fine. I know you're afraid. Like Peter walking on the water, Jesus was saying, just keep looking at me. Don't look down. It's going to be okay. So I had this follow-up conversation with him, and I said, I think God used you to give me that kind of encouragement. And he said, well, that's good, but what's your number? How much do you need? I said, I have no idea. And he never wrote a huge check like that, but they've been very supportive all the way through. And so those three conversations with Kyle, with Wayne, with Cliff, just we launched out. And then Christmas Eve of 2020, we knew this was happening, and we were early stages. We were not calling it a church plant. I was still under the leadership at Perimeter, and everything was just very early. And so, but I knew we wanted to do something for Christmas Eve. And so we had a Warner family gathering here at Monkey Wrench. That's the invitation that went out. And we had 150 people show up, and we had picnic tables. None of this stuff was here. And it was just all spread out and spaced out. We had a food truck show up and borrowed 150 candles from Perimeter so we could do a candlelight singing of Silent Night. And it was an amazing evening. It was an amazing evening. And the guy who was running the food truck, I mean, he looked like he just escaped from prison. But he came up to me and he said, Drew, man, he said, I stepped out to smoke a cigarette and I came back in and I saw the candles lit and heard everybody singing Silent Night. He said, I've never been a part of anything like this. I said, well, neither have I. Isn't it amazing? And he's like, this is incredible. And so a bunch of people that were there came up to us and said, if you're starting anything, like, we want to know about it. We want to be a part of it. And so that was kind of the first thing. And then early that year, I think our first sort of gathering of families happened at Dave and Kay Lee's house on March the 7th. And that was us just, okay, we don't know what we're doing at all. And we had decided, by the way, we really felt like God was leading us to plant independently from Perimeter Church and from the PCA denomination, which I loved and worked very hard to achieve ordination in the PCA, but forewent all of that because we felt like the people that God had already established relationship with us and the people that God was wanting to reach were just not necessarily Perimeter PCA people. They were messed up ragamuffins like you. I'm just kidding. I'm the leader, right? I'm the leader of the ragamuffins. But we knew we needed to be outside of that. And the relationships that had developed over the, you know, previous, what, almost 20 years were far-ranging and wide-ranging. And we wanted everybody to feel comfortable. And so we felt very strongly we needed to do that. And worth noting, this church would not exist without Perimeter. They paid me through the first first 14, 15 months of this just to help us get launched. And so we've got a great relationship with Perimeter Church still and are just very grateful for them. So we start meeting March 7th and we had no idea truly what we're going to do. But I said, Easter's coming up. Like, we need to do something for Easter. And we thought, well, let's do an Easter service at Monkey Wrench and then we'll go back underground and then, you know, get our act together and pop back up in the fall. And so we did, and Wayne said, I went to Wayne, and, you know, when we did Christmas Eve here, they were already open. So the tap room was open, the food truck was here. It wasn't a problem, but Easter Sunday morning, he lives in Snellville. He would have had to drive in here and open it up at 8 a.m. to let us in. And so we had lunch, and I said, you know, Wayne, could we meet on Easter? And he said, absolutely. I said, well, we want to pay you. You know, we're going to need a place to meet for I don't know how long. We want to pay you, make it worth your while. He said, no. You can meet here as long as you want. I'm not going to charge you anything. Here's a key. Just make yourself at home. And so Monkey Wrench was my, by far, number one preferred location because of what? It's just the feel. I mean, it's one of the reasons you guys are here, because it just has a different, the vibe of the community is just, it lends itself to it. Environment matters. But it also happened to be the only possible location that we could meet, because we didn't have our 501c3. We couldn't, and COVID shut down. I mean, nothing was available. So it was my preferred, but it was also the only one. And so we knew this is where God wanted us to be. So we started, launched it Easter. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that a lot of people, like, meeting in a brewery, like, that, I don't know about that. You know, that's a little uncomfortable. And our heart was this, that the gospel is uncomfortable. It's offensive. The verse that we read earlier, that you're under a curse. You're under a curse, and you need help. You need a savior. You need to be rescued. That's bad news. You've got cancer. That's not easy news to give to somebody. Fortunately, there's good news. But that's an uncomfortable message. And a lot of people that we've met over 20 years would also say that church was uncomfortable for them. So they're hearing an uncomfortable message in an uncomfortable environment. And so we just said, what if we can meet them in the middle? And let's meet in an environment that for some of us might be uncomfortable. But for them, it will be comfortable. They'll be like, okay, I'm right at home here, you know? And so we're comfortable now with the message of the gospel because we know the good news. We've experienced it. So, but it enables people that are far from God to be in a comfortable environment while they're hearing a message that might really be uncomfortable. And I think that that's really what's happening. So for a lot of us, it may be that when you first started coming, or even now, you might be uncomfortable being in the space. I know we sure were all very uncomfortable 3 weeks ago when it was 90 degrees in here. But we're going to have some discomfort. But it's for the whole purpose of connecting with people who are far from God, and helping them to see and experience the good news that we've seen. So, and experience. So we started the church, and the church sort of looks like this. This was a quote from, I talk way too much. I need to start reading other people, okay, so I don't keep quoting Steve Brown. But this quote just has shaped my personal ministry, and I think it's had a huge impact on our church. But the quote is this. He says, I try to live life in such a way that uptight Christians doubt my salvation and non-Christians ask questions. And I love that. And what is it that causes uptight Christians? And we're all uptight to some degree, right? We all have that in us. But what causes us to ask to get uptight? It's by the, when they see us, it's by the people we're hanging around, and it's by the places that we're going, typically. And it's like, we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be in those places. I'll mention, in September, after we launched, we had this crazy idea. There was a cornhole league that met here. And we said, what if one Sunday we just buy all the, there was a pizza food truck. We just buy a bunch of pizza. We open up the tap room and put a card down and say, go to the cornhole league and say, beer and pizza's on us until 2:00. And so we did that. And they were blown away. I mean, there was a guy that came up and said, my dad has been telling me I need to look for a good church. He came up from Tampa. He goes, I've never had a church buy a beer for me before. And now we don't do that anymore. We're not spending our money on beer and wine and all that stuff. But it was out of the box, and it got them asking questions. And they were coming up to us, do you have more information about your church? Do you have? And I think Eric Tinker was here with the Cornhole League, and he and Kelsey had just started sort of, I think somebody connected them with each other, and he sent Kelsey, and Kelsey's doing our children's ministry this morning, he sent Kelsey a text. He said, you're not going to believe this. I'm playing cornhole at Monkey Ranch Brewing, and a church is here, and they just bought beer and pizza for everybody. And Kelsey goes, that's my church. And they connected, they got married. So it was a worthwhile investment. But that's the type of, you know, we want to push out, and we want to reach people. We want to cause non-Christians to ask questions. And we've seen God doing good stuff. But Galatians 5, I think it's 5 verse 6b, I wrote here 5 verse 5b, says this, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's the only thing that counts, and that's on the heels. Paul is talking about circumcision. They're all arguing about, you know, do we need to be circumcised? Do we not need to be circumcised? He's like, listen, quit worrying about that. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. And that is the challenge that we have for ourselves, is that people that encounter this church, that encounter us as individuals, would walk away going, I sure am glad that that person works in the cube next to me, or that they live down the street from me, or that they go to school with me. I know what this is. This is, I set my own alarm. I thought somebody was calling me. It's buzzing in my pocket for me to land the plane. Let me see. So I'm going to skip through some stuff. But we want people to experience love through us. And so our vision is to experience and express love from God to others. That's it. We experience it first, and then we become channels of God's love, and it flows through us. So I'll skip ahead. Just some cool things that have happened that God has been doing. Hillside. How many of y'all have not been up to our Hillside property, our retreat house up in Sugar Hill behind the public shopping center? So there's a house that we're renting up there, and it's on 25 acres of property. And I mean, another connection that happened, 10, 15 years ago, this family, with no agenda, when the church started, we started talking about, man, Hillside would be a great space to have this lodge facility that we're talking about. And Hugh Bice and his three siblings all own the property. They inherited it from their parents. And he said, we're not selling the property. You know, it's going to stay in the family. Then he came back to me a few months later. He said, I had an interesting conversation with my siblings. They're open to selling the property, but it would have to be the right situation. And he said, right now, the only right situation is Good News Church. And so we're actually we're moving down that road of faith. Should be getting an appraisal back this upcoming week in terms of, if they were to sell it, how much would the property be worth? And then that would begin some more serious talks about purchasing that property and building an event space that would be a for-profit business. We would have events, weddings, receptions, just all kinds of stuff, and it would generate revenue for ministry. And then the church would just meet out of it. And we'd operate in very much the same way that we do with Monkey Wrench, but we would have hands on both sides. And I mean, it's just crazy what's happened. There's a couple that runs an event space. They've been super successful. We had them come up and look at the property and say, what do you think about this space? And they said, you guys would kill it here. This is an amazing property. And we said, well, by chance, if we did something here, would you be interested in running it? And they immediately said, yes, absolutely. They said, let us know. So now we've got somebody who could run it. And in this church, we have architects, we have designers. It seems like God has assembled kind of what we need for that to happen. Now, again, I say, I don't know where we're going. This idea being called out, we don't know where we're going, like Abraham. We're just trying to, I say all the time, follow the breadcrumbs. Where is God leading us? And it may be down a totally different path than what we think, but we're just trying to follow. So we've been able to sponsor the Sugar Hill Elementary Good News Club, an after-school Bible club. This past week, we had a parent orientation, had 60 parents show up, and we had a brief 15-minute meeting, 20-minute meeting. What is Good News Club? I talked about what is the good news. A lot of these parents have no idea what Good News Club is. They just know it's an hour and a half of free childcare after school. But I was able to share the good news. And then because we're sponsoring it, I was able to tell them about our church. We gave them each a copy of The Life and Teachings of Jesus, that little moleskin journal book with one of our coasters in it. And I told them, I said, you know what? Our interest is not getting you to come to Good News Church. That's not what we're about. Our interest is helping people come into a relationship with Jesus. We have great relationships with churches all in this community, personal relationships with the pastors, Sugar Hill Church, Shadowbrook Church, Gwinnett Church, Perimeter Church, 12 Stone Church, and you know, we just want people to be where they're supposed to be. Doesn't have to be here. We would love it if they were here. We love it that you're here. But the most important thing is that people are encountering and experiencing personal relationship with Jesus, and that's what we're going to be about. That's the property, 25 acres, and I can't remember what the next slide is, but I'll, let's see. Okay, last page of my notes. I mean, a cool thing, you guys, if you've been around, you're familiar. Oh, there we go. That was from 10 years ago when I put, this would be kind of like what the lodge looks like, and just this cool wilderness, space. You come up the hill and huge, you know, cool thing. I put 2028. I have no idea. Could maybe it doesn't happen. It could be next year, the year. I don't know. But that may be where we're moving. We'll see. But the different things, following the breadcrumbs, God gave us relationship at Lanier High School and Lanier Middle School. Both of those principals wanted to start fishing teams. And we had some people who were interested in fishing. So Sean Conroy's here, and Brandon Young is in the community. So we helped them start a fishing club and a fishing team. The first year, and we became the primary sponsor. So their jerseys had Good News Church right on the front, and it opened up doors for relationship and opportunity and exposure and all that. The first year, Lanier High School fishing team won the state championship. Unbelievable. I mean, we didn't see that coming, you know. Had we been thinking logically, like, where are we supposed to be doing ministry? Going and being a primary sponsor for a fishing team, although we are about fishing, you know, as believers, fishing for men. But there they are. They won the state championship, and our church was the primary sponsor to make all that happen. There's been so much stuff that's gone on. Let me look at these notes and see what to end with. I'll say this, two stories and then a personal application for y'all, and I'll end. When we were starting this church, some of y'all have heard this recently because I've just been blown away with this. This idea of a brewery church, I'm like, what does that even look like? Is anybody doing that? And so Laura and I, 3 years ago, were scouring the internet, and she found a church in Florida, in Orlando, called Castle Church Brewing. I told this story a few weeks ago. And the Lutheran church gave them $1.2 million to build a brewery and then appointed a pastor to pastor that community. Well, after a couple of years, it failed because the pastor failed, and the brewery was successful, and the brothers were just devastated, but the Lutheran church came in and shut the whole thing down and sold off the property. Well, a few weeks ago, we had a meeting here, and a friend of mine walked in. We had a church meeting, talk about Hillside. A friend of mine walked in, came back here, had a beer, and I had to get going. I was not going to come back here, but I saw him walk in, and I thought, well, I'll go say hey to Craig, and he's a part of this church. So I came in, said hey. There was a guy standing next to him. I said, I hadn't met you. My name's Drew. He said, my name's Jacob. Turned out it was he and his brother that started Castle Church Brewing. And I said, you were such an inspiration to us, you know, and he was blown away that they were an inspiration to anybody. When he told his brother the news, his brother was weeping on the phone. His brother's now working on staff at a church in Tampa. And just, he said, I just can't believe that God would use us to be an inspiration to anybody. And so those guys are 100% behind what God's doing here. And crazy thing is, Jacob is in the process, and I mean, I've seen our leadership, we've talked about, he felt like God has told him now to start a winery that only sells to churches for communion wine by subscription. And so they would ship out, and he said, there's a huge opportunity there. He said, you know, he's a missionary kid. He was in a church, and the pastor was talking about, how are you supposed to know what to do with your life? And he said, figure out what you're good at, what you love, and what's the problem to be solved. And he said, I didn't hear anything else the pastor said. I was thinking about these questions. He said, well, I'm good at alcohol. I love the church. What can I do to help? And he said, he really has figured out he could cut, you know, that expense by half for churches that are using communion wine, and they can put all that money back towards mission and ministry. So, and he told us, he said, by the way, I want to tithe 10% to Good News Church, because you guys, we helped to make the connection with the land and the property and the primary investor. And so I don't know where that's going to go. That may not happen, but it's interesting. And then the second story that happened, Ray mentioned earlier the t-shirt, and it's why I ordered a bunch of t-shirts. And if you want one, pick one up. They're free. But you also got to take some coasters with you. Because since I started wearing this t-shirt, I've had people come up and ask me, oh, what's the good news? And I'm like, I need to have an answer to that, you know? And so my answer is, well, the good news is that while we were sinners, Christ died for us and made us friends of God. Can you believe that? And that's my answer. And we went to the rooftop bar, a new space in downtown Sugar Hill, just to do a walk around and show Ricky and Linda the space. And Kevin and Suzanne were with us, and we get up there, and this woman is sitting at the bar with her husband, and she shouts out, what's the good news? I'm like, here we go. And so I walked over, I go, well, I got really good news. I'm trying to think, okay, how am I going to answer this? She said, does it have anything to do with Jesus? I said, yes. And she goes, high five. Gave her a big high five. And I threw a coaster down. I said, yeah, I pastor a church called Good News Church. And we meet at Monkey Ridge Brewing. And she picked up the coaster and she just said, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. This is unbelievable. And so she starts asking me about the church and how we got started and all that. She said, I write a newspaper column on inspiring people, and you're an inspiring person. And this is an inspiring story. And she goes, I want to interview you. Like, I'd love to write a column about this whole thing. I'm like, well, that's fine. I'd be happy to do that. Laura walks up. I said, well, this is my wife, Laura. She goes, I love your husband. And so at the end of the conversation, I said, well, you know, who do you write for? She said, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And so I don't know where that's going, but I think God is just dropping these seeds and going, you're on the right path. Just keep doing what you're doing. And so God called us out. That's sort of what it looks like, what's going on. And so how does that apply to us individually? Those three questions. What's been your journey? What is God calling you out to? What has he called you out to? A lot of you have experienced that. You have stories yourselves. And I would love for us to be sharing these stories of how God has called you to step out in faith and how he's met you just like he's met us. But what are you good at? You know, what do you love? And what's a problem that needs to be solved? And I'll throw a plug in, Kevin Ward and I, who's working sound, this is kind of his sweet spot, is helping people figure that out. And so if that sounds like something you're interested in, you can sign up at the back table. Just say, I'm interested in that, or go talk to Kevin and ask him about it. But to be called out, and I'll wrap up with this, I'm a little bit over, so forgive me, but I'm surprised I was able to get as far as I've gotten. To be called out, we've got to be willing to do three things. This is it. To be available, to be uncomfortable, and to be humble. And humility involves submission to God. To say, God, I'm yours. You created me, you designed me, you've gifted me, you've got a plan for me. I don't know what it is, but you do, but just use me. So available, uncomfortable, and humble. And this has been that journey for us. And for many of you, it's been that journey. But it's been so exciting. There's no place that's better than being where God wants you to be. And it is such an amazing adventure. These stories and these interactions, like I said, they happen all the time. And on Sundays, there's just not much time and space to share these stories. So I'm taking one Sunday and just unloading on you. And hopefully you'll be inspired. But Hebrews 11:10, I said I'd come back to this verse and then I'll close, says that Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham had a kingdom mindset. He was not trying to build anything on the earth. He just wanted to follow God. And I met a guy who's a church planting pastor for a huge church. And I may have mentioned this before, but I love what he says as relates to church. He said, they'll have meetings and they'll say, is this about kingdom or is this about castle? Is this about expanding God's kingdom or is this about trying to expand our little castle? And we're not about castle. We're about kingdom. And the great news is that God has put a calling on your heart. He's put a calling on my heart that dovetails into this church body somehow, or maybe not. Maybe he's calling, maybe he's sending you out. Maybe Joe and Grace are going to go to Thailand. You know, maybe he's put something on your heart that it just won't go away. And here's the good news, that if he's done that, you're not going to be able to mess it up, because he is going to direct you and he is going to motivate you and mobilize you to where you can't not do it. And that is such good news, because I was trying as hard as I could to not go in this direction, and he just made it so that we wanted to, and he made it very clear. So you may be wrestling with something to go, I don't know if this is the Lord, but it won't go away. But just continue to offer yourself to him. And the good news of the gospel compels us to do that, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah 53 is my other quick, what is the good news? He bore the sins of many. This was written 700 years before Jesus. He bore the sins of many, and he interceded for rebels. Isn't that amazing that God did that? That's good news. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the amazing good news that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. You sent Jesus to become covered in our sin and in our filth and in our rebellion, so that we could wear his righteousness and you could look at us as if we were perfectly holy and righteous in your sight. God, would you help us to encounter, to re-experience that good news that you have set your love on us, not because of us, but because of Jesus. And we can't shake it. You've adopted us into your family. You've called us your kids. And you've given us all the rights and privileges of being children of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.